about it. But here's what I do know. I know that we have a good Father that takes people that have messed up hurts and pains, and He restores them, you know. And this morning, I thought about this week what I wanted to share with you, and I kept bouncing between talking about marriage and talking about failure. And I felt like the Lord said, man, you need to talk about failure. And part of it was because I felt most of my life like a failure. I was blessed for Tracy and I to come and be a part of City on the Hill when it was Celebration Baptist, Celebration Fellowship. I mean, they changed so many names, they don't know who they are. You know what I'm saying? Staff, I don't know who they are.
We're learning.
All right, good. In the process. I'm with you. But here's what I know. I know that through time, there have been so many lives changed here that it's one name above all other names that have changed in people. Am I right? And failure is an option. It's an option of how you respond to it. You know, you think about Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth, he struck out more times than he hit the ball. Abraham Lincoln ran for president 7 times until he finally got it. Now, I don't know about that. I'd be a little discouraged. You know what I'm saying? I want to talk to you this morning about somebody that I identify with, and that's Samson. Not because he was a strong guy, but because Samson is probably one of the weakest individuals in Scripture. You know, we talk about heroes of the faith, and sometimes Samson's mentioned. I don't look at Samson as a hero. I look at Samson as a failure. But what I see about Samson was what God did with Samson, even in the middle of his failures. You know, God will still use you in the middle of all your crap. Now, I know they're taking dibs on how many times I'd say that this morning, so I just had to get it out of the way and just say it one time, all right? Let me tell you a little bit about Samson. Early on, if you read, I would encourage you to read in the book of Judges, the story of Samson. It is a crazy story. Most of the time, we know about Samson and what? Delilah. There's more to the story. In fact, in the early passages, what you find is you find that Samson was married. He goes over to the Philistine territory. He sees this chick. She's pa-pow, pa-pow. Then he says, hey, Dad, man, go over there and get this Philistine woman. Now, they were all afraid of him, so he could just do and have what he wanted, right? So he goes over there, he gets this woman as his wife, and he decides that he's going to leave. So he goes off for a little while, and I'm kind of giving you the cliff notes of it. But he goes off for a little while, and the father of this girl gives his wife to his best man. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If Tracy's dad wanted to give her to somebody, I'm going to cut somebody, okay? That's just all there is to it. And so what I see in this passage is Samson goes off and he's irritated and he goes out and he starts killing folks. All in all, in 3 chapters, he killed 1,300 folks. That's awesome. I mean, you know, you ever want to kill somebody? Some of y'all are like, I don't know how to answer that, and I'm sitting right beside my husband or wife right now. I mean, and then check this out. He kills all these people with, you know, and he had this vow. He took this vow from birth. Wouldn't you like to have an angel tell you when you were born that you were going to be set apart? You're going to be, I mean, God was going to use you. That's what happened to Samson. An angel said he was going to be set apart. Announcement of his birth. That's great. 20 years he led these people in peace. Killed a lion. That's awesome, with his bare hands. I mean, you know, when I was younger, I used to think I was invincible. You know, I've been hunting and all kinds of animals. I don't even care about like cats. Like, cats scare me, man. I mean, and some of them are demon possessed. That's all I'm just telling you. They are. You know, some of you have them. And so much less a lion, to take a lion, rip his mouth off, and he's dead on the side of the ground. And then that's cool, no problem. But guess this, he goes into town, he comes back out, the same carcass is laying there, and some bees start producing honey in it. And what's he do? He reaches inside the carcass and gets some honey. Now, here's something important. He wasn't supposed to be touching dead animals. That was a part of his vow. How many of us in this room know what God has told us to do? And he said, don't go do that. Maybe you struggled with something before, and he said, don't go back and do that. And we go back and do the same dadgum thing we've done time and time again. So you can identify with Samson. Some of you in this room, you love Jesus, but you go and do some of the stupidest things you've ever done before. I don't know nothing about that, okay? I mean, I'm just telling you, I don't. I mean, the problem is I know a lot about it, and it caused me failure time and time and time again in my life to go back and struggle with some of the very same things, even though I had a heart for Jesus. I see more than ever in churches that we have people who say they love Jesus, but they really have a hard time of living for him because they misunderstand God's grace. They misunderstand how to respond to failure. And what they've experienced most of their life is condemnation and being put down. One of the reasons we started Refuge Church is because 24, 25 years ago, when Tracy and I came here, we began to experience this grace. We began to understand that, you know, it's not about being strong. I was a football player at the time, singing Christian music, traveling, doing all this stuff. And what most people didn't know of what was behind the scenes. Verbal, physical abuse to my wife. Pain pill addiction. And I put on the pretty face. But deep down inside, there was no integrity. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because integrity is the same thing that's on the inside, that's on the outside. And if you've been through the life change class, you know that that's a huge part of having a deep relationship with Christ. You may not be perfect, but what's on the inside needs to be the same on the outside. Samson had amazing strength. He was later shackled. He was later had his eyes gouged out. He had long hair. We've heard the story before. He had long hair. Said, don't cut your hair. And what's he do? He plays with women. I mean, he just played with them. The story about his first wife, get this, he goes off, comes back. He decides after a couple of months he's going to go back and sleep with his wife. So he goes back in. The father says, oh, wait a minute, I gave her to the best man. He goes out and kills people. You can't tell me that Samson didn't struggle with anger. Hello? We see it in the scripture that he went and killed these people. We see it throughout scripture that Samson would get angry. How many of you struggle with anger? Awesome. Now, not awesome because you struggle with it, but because you see that you're not alone. Most people walk through life feeling like they're alone, don't they? Even, watch this, even in a church like City on Hill, that you have all kinds of recovery programs, sometimes no matter what you go through, you still feel alone, don't you? It all comes back to knowing how to respond to failure and who to give your failure to. What do you do when you've blown it? Here's Samson, shame, guilt, thrown in prison. He meets Delilah. Now here's where the story gets in. He meets this girl, and she was again, pow, pow, you know, and all that. And so he meets her, and he's falling head over heels with the Philistines decide, you know what, we're gonna get him because he done killed all these people. We got to trick him. So they go to Delilah, and they say, listen, find out his strength. Now I'm just going to tell you, she was a hoe. I mean, there just ain't no other way to say it, okay? Read it in Scripture. It's in there, okay? It's just not the way they describe her, all right? So you know where I'm coming from. And so here she is. She's this hoe, and Samson is connected with her, and he's wanting to take her on as his wife. Why do you think Samson was doing pie, pie, pie. I mean, listen, it's teenagers. Let me just tell you something. All these teenagers over here going, what's he saying? You know what pie, pie is, don't you? I mean, I know you know. I have a beautiful daughter. She'll be here in a little bit. I better not see none of y'all talking to her, okay? I will cut you. And here's the thing. The bottom line is Samson, he gets so angry. And either the Philistines were stupid or Samson was stupid. I can't figure out which one. Because he goes to Delilah, and Delilah asks him three different times, Samson, tell me what the secret to your strength is. And what's he do? He starts playing a game. He gives him a riddle. You know what I'm saying? And he says, well, it's this and this and this. And then she's like, oh, you know, some of you ladies know what you're doing when you're trying to get to your husband, get something out of him, you know? And so, you know, she's petting him and saying, hey, I'll do this and do that. And so he says, you know, you got to tie me up. You got to do all this. So they do that, and then he breaks out. Now, if some woman, if Tracy told me, Taryn, tell me the strength, to, you know, how you're strong. And one time I say, tie me up, and she ties me up. I got a problem on my hands. Samson did that 3 times to the same woman. At some point, I'd be going, now, sister, come on now. Yeah, you know, you may not be the woman for me. And finally, he gives in because it says, the scripture says she was nagging the whole time. So, and I ain't even going to touch that, all right? That's for the class after this, all right? And that goes for men and women. And so here he is, he's frustrated, and he winds up telling her, because she's like, listen, you don't really love me, playing these games, relationship games. So winds up cutting his hair, and what happens? He gets thrown in prison, his eyes get gouged out, starts grinding away in prison. And that's where our story comes to this point. He blew it, didn't he? He blew it. He compromised. Have you blown it? I have, many times. I hate to say this, but as a pastor, man, sometimes I tell my people, look, I'm the worst sinner that there is, man. My mind is filled with all kinds of jacked up stuff. From my childhood to my college days, throughout my adult years, I have a videotape that runs in my head of all the things I've done. You have to. And my mind oftentimes goes back to the things that I don't want to do. And I love Jesus. I love him with all my heart. Tracy will ask me, who do you love? Y'all do those little games as couples. Who do you love? You know? Tracy will say, who do you love? And I'm like, you. And she'll say, who do you really love? And I'm like, Jesus. I say it every time. Irritates her to death. But I'm sorry, I'm not going to say her again. I'm just not. And you know why? Because watch this. I want my wife to know that I compromised for so many years that I'm not compromising her or nobody else for my relationship with Jesus. Because it cost me. Failure will always cost you, will it not? Here's your first point this morning. A man's greatest fear is failure. And great pain is regret. Any of you regret things in your life? Most men and most women say, I just don't want to fail. So we start a new job, we do this, and we get, life is full of failures, is it not? I mean, it just is. Samson didn't seem to be afraid of his failure. He just kept doing one thing after another, just kept going through things, and we just don't see this remorse or anything until the very end. You ever know somebody who's an alcoholic or a drug addict and you try to help them and they just don't seem to get it? Until the very end, when they're at the bottom of the barrel, they're scraping the bottom, they have no other place to go, and then they get it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That's most of the time when change begins to happen. At least that's what I found in my life. I can play the game. You may be here this morning saying, man, Taryn, you just don't understand my story. I don't need to understand your story. I understand mine. I understand that I had leaders in this church, Taryn, until you get to the point where you can openly admit and tell other people your struggles and lay it out, you will not experience freedom. And when you share your struggles, when you share every one of your failures and you have nothing to hide, that's when you have integrity on the inside, and it'll be the same thing on the outside. Maybe you're here this morning and you betrayed your wife or your husband. Maybe you're not married. You could have been, but you didn't. You just regret, maybe. Maybe you've caught your spouse looking at porn. Teenagers, maybe you looked at porn. Your parents caught you. You just feel regret. You feel guilt. Live paycheck to paycheck. Feel like you never get ahead. Anybody ever feel like that? Devastated when kids do something stupid. And you take it on yourself. And you feel like it's your fault. Broken promises, or maybe you told God you're going to do something, you wind up not doing it. Miserable in a flat marriage, it just seems to nothing change. You regret, you stay for the sake of your kids. Maybe you say, well, by this age, my life should be A, B, and C, and it's not. And you just regret because you feel like a failure. Well, I got news for you. I got some good news this morning. Because even though Samson's story is one that he's not really the hero, and sometimes we look at him, there's a lesson to learn from his story for all of us. In the end, Samson probably regretted not being more faithful to God. You think people die like that? I guarantee they do. I talk to people all the time in our ministry. Our ministry at Refuge Church is the exact same ministry that you have at City on the Hill. No different. Because it's the only ministry I know. It's the only ministry I'm going to do. I sit in church planning meetings and with other pastors in the area. They hate to see me coming. Because I'm not going to compromise what I know is the truth. I had one guy say, well, Taryn, you act like you know the truth about how to help people deal with their issues. I said, I do. I know the secret of it. It's not the material. It's not the ABCs of life change, the anger class. It's not any of that. It's the process and the principles of people going through it. God loves the process. Look at the disciples. Look at who Jesus hung around. They were jacked up. And he loved them anyway, and he took them through a process. Peter denied Jesus how many times? Three times he denied him. And God had to take him through a process to get him after Jesus was crucified, resurrected, to go, oh, wow, now I get it. Now, that don't sound like none of y'all, does it? It sounds like me on a regular basis. Samson's story shows us that just because you fail at something, I love this, doesn't mean that you're a failure. And so let's take a look at Judges chapter 16, verses 23 and 25. I love this story. And so watch this. Failure isn't an event, is it? Is failure an event? It is. Failure is an event. It's not a person. I want you to think about that. Because a lot of times people think failure is a person. People fail on a regular basis. It's not a person. It's an event. People can change. How many of you in here have changed over time? If you ain't got your hand up, you're going straight to hell. You're a liar. You're going straight to hell, man. I'm telling you right now. Let's read this. Judges chapter 16, verses 23. I told James when he asked me, so I said, you sure about that? Are you really sure? Because Alan and James used to stand at the back and check off how many times I would cuss preaching. So some of you new folks, listen, just hang on. Okay? Just hang on. I'll try not to do that this morning. It goes to say, now the rulers of the Philistine assembly met together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, our God has delivered Samson. So remember the story. Delilah has tied him up. Okay, got him all tied up. It says, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. Where the people saw Samson, when the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, oh, God has delivered us into our enemy's hands. The one who laid waste into our land, because he had wiped people out. Philistines were scared of him. He lived about 15, 20 minutes from where the Philistines were, and they were scared to go over and get him. He was that powerful. And multiplied our slain. While they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. Now, let me ask you something. Samson was a big dude, probably. We know that he had supernatural strength. He had to be a pretty good-sized guy. And so let's say he was just an average dude even, but he had some muscles on, pow, pow, for you ladies, all right? He gets called out. Watch this. You think he didn't regret and was embarrassed when they called him out? You didn't think he felt like a failure in front of the same people that he killed many of them to keep them away from his people that he was protecting? And now they've got him standing there. Got him standing there. Do you ever feel like you're standing in front of people that want to mock you and ridicule you and put you down? You ever felt like that? I mean, half the time, watch this, half the time that ain't even true. Most of the time it's you and your thinking. It's me and my thinking. People sometimes don't worry about putting us down. We put ourselves down enough. Failure begins to push us down, and we take that failure and we begin to go, wait a minute. Should I do this? Should I not? How should I respond to this? How should I not? What we should do is be running back to the Word and saying, what should I be doing? Running back to people that want to send us and help us walk through in the right direction in a small group, in a support group. His enemies were gloating. I wonder how he felt. The truth is, the enemy loves to use our failures, does he not? Whew. And you know what he loves to use? He loves to use you and me. He loves to use you and me, even as sometimes Christian people, to put our own selves down. What does he do? It says that he's got these arrows, right? Because the enemy, remember, Satan is not omnipotent, omniscient, or omnipresent. He's not God. And he can't read your mind, no matter what you might think. But what he does is he makes you think that you read your mind. Some of y'all are like, that's thick. I gotta think on that. What he does is he stands back from a distance with his bow and arrow of thoughts, and he looks at your entire past, and he gets these little demons to keep everything you've done, everything you've said. And he says, listen, you guys, anytime that you can, you shoot an arrow of their past across their mind so that they're going to do one of two things, 1 Corinthians tells us. Either take it captive and put it in your head, or take it captive and give it to the Lord. We do one of two things. And many of us, what we do because of our past hurts and pains, we love feeling sorry for ourselves and laying in our squalor. And so what do? We take that thought and we go, oh my gosh, oh my God. And it's like pounding on your head. You get harder and harder. Instead of going, God, here you go. I give it up. There are two responses to failure. The first one is this. It's a natural response, and it is remorse. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? Just be remorseful for things. Let me give you some what remorse really is. It's feeling bad, feeling like a horrible person. You know, I got caught. A lot of times with remorse, blame others. You know, so isn't that always good? You know, when you can blame other people for your failures. I like doing that. I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you. Just get the responsibility off of me. The better response, though, is repentance. The better response is repentance. What is that? I'm sorry, it's my fault. Taking ownership of. It's the first step in life change, is it not? I remember Chuck Youngman took me through the first 12-step process that we had here, and I remember him saying, look, live 24 hours at a time. Live 24 hours at a time and admit your issues, Taryn. Well, I struggled with that. You know, when you're sitting in a room with a group of people and they're sharing their crap, I'm like, that's great. That's awesome. You're jacked up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And it makes you look so much better. You know what I mean? At least in your mind. And then it comes to you. And watch this. Tell me this isn't true. When it's you sitting there in that chair, there's something going on up here, isn't there? The battle starts happening. That's what I love when James writes that it is a battle in your mind. That's why people either do this or they do this. That's 95% of the Christian walk, taking your thoughts captive and giving them to the Lord or sticking them back in your head. And the enemy can shoot things across your mind. Don't blame him. Don't give him credit for crap that you do, that you think about. Just don't do it. We do that all the time. The devil made me do it. He didn't do nothing. It's you. Your responses, remorse or repentance. Repentance, I blew it. Samson, what did he do? In the end, you're going to see, he said, I blew it. Took him a long time. Took me a long time to get to the point where I had to admit that I had issues in my life. No matter how nice I sang, no matter how good I could play sports or anything like that, I had to come to the point where I admitted that I was a failure in some areas of my life. It disappointed me, it disappointed others, but the truth is it began the process of setting me free. Repentance leads to feelings. Remorse leads to feelings. Repentance leads to change. Let me say that again. Remorse leads to feelings. Repentance leads to change. Can you unsin? That would be awesome. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You can't unsleep with the person you slept with. Now, some of y'all are like, wait a minute, yes, you can. Rewind. You know, just push the rewind button. Can't undo a bad deal that you did at work. Can't undo what you looked at or what you said, what you do. That would be just awesome. Somebody needs to invent something like that. It'd be nice, but it doesn't happen that way, does it? Life isn't the movies. It's not some TV show. It's real. I would encourage you this morning, don't let your past failures limit your future opportunities. Here now, we've got Samson at his lowest point. He's standing in front of this crowd. They want him to perform, right? And so all of a sudden, something begins to happen. He begins to remember some things. You ever been in the midst of your pain and you start looking back and seeing how good God was to you before? And you know you need him. You know he is your answer, but will you turn to him? What will you do? Will you give remorse or will you give repentance? Will you turn from what you're doing or will you just feel bad about what you're doing? There were many times in my life I just felt bad about what I was doing. There was no change. And part of that was there was no accountability. When I got accountability, I'm just going to tell you, that sucked. I mean, it sucked because here's the deal. I felt like it was sucking the life out of me. It hurt. It was painful. But what I realized in the long run, the short term was painful, but the long run gained me so much freedom. Here he was at his lowest point. Now he's ready to change. What's he going to do? How's he going to do it? He stopped feeling sorry for himself. For the first time, you're going to see Samson was now ready for it not to be about him, for it to be about God. And let's take a look at Judges chapter 16, verses 25, 26, and I tied verse 28 in there as well. It says, when they stood among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who had his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple. Now think about this for just a second. Let's just pause. Again, were the Philistines stupid people? You were taking a brother who killed at least 1,300 people, did some crazy things with this strength, lifted up city gates and moved them to the top of a hill called Hebron, which means victory, and they're seeing this pass, and now they're going to just traipse this guy out, stick him in between two pillars. Somebody's stupid. Somebody wasn't paying attention. Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so I may lean against them. Samson being on, I just want to lean against them. Okay. And then it says, then Samson prayed to the Lord. Watch this. Oh, sovereign Lord, remember. Remember me. Well, when we get caught in our sin, sometimes we want God to just remember us, don't we? Sometimes we forget him, but he will always remember us. And he will give you the strength no matter what you're going through, no matter what adversity you got. I'm a testament to that. That he will walk you through a process or he will deliver you whatever he wants to do. You just got to let him do it. It says, oh God, please strengthen me just once more. And for once in his life, it wasn't about him. It was about God. When I realized that I needed to be broken, I'll never forget one particular day, Tracy had called James actually and said, listen, Taryn is, I can't stand it any longer. I'm going to divorce him. Something's got to change. And so he calls me up and he says, hey, man, why don't you come up to the church? Let's talk. And so I come up here. And I was traveling and singing, doing Christian music at the time, playing football, that stuff. So my life just, it felt awesome. You know what I'm saying? And isn't it amazing how some little dude can just destroy your life in just a few minutes? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I walked in and he sets me down and he says, let me just tell you something. I won't repeat every word he said. Okay? But he said, listen, Terrence, you touch your wife one more time and I'm going to bring 10 of the biggest guys and we're going to whoop your... Yeah, he said it. Yeah, he did. You know he did. Now watch this. I got a little Samson in me. You know what I'm saying? I didn't like that. I didn't like being told that. And all of a sudden, I walked in thinking, you know, maybe he's going to take me out to eat or do something. It's all good. And I walked in, and in just a few minutes, the temperature changed in the room. And the adrenaline went from the bottom of my toes to the top of my head. If I could have got around behind the desk and put my hands on that man, I might have hurt him. And so, you know, he had like the guitar sitting over here and, you know, the desk in between. So I got irritated. I walked straight out, went straight to my car, went home. I was embarrassed. Now I'd gotten found out. Everybody I knew in my head knew because I thought, oh, my gosh, James done told everybody. I remember him saying, listen, you ain't going on the road singing no more. You're going to make your life right. Call and I'm going to tell those folks what you've been doing. Oh my gosh, I just turned my world upside down. Now I wanted to put my hands on him. I go home. I didn't say anything to Tracy. Later that night, she comes in. We're talking and I said, did you talk to James? She said, yeah, I did. Oh man, I was just bull, just steaming. And she told me, she said, listen, if you don't change, I'm going to leave you. You see, my past was filled with all kinds of stuff. I grew up in a legalistic home. My stepdad was very physically abusive. I was an angry young man. And I hid that from my wife when we first got married. But then you get married and, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Truth always comes out, doesn't it? And when that stuff started coming out, I tried to hide it. I just couldn't hide it because that's not who I am. And it just began to bubble out, and slowly but surely through relationships, people started seeing things. And let me tell you something. I told Travis, I'm never going back to that church again. And then that little dude gave me a call a couple of hours later. And he says to me, he says, hey, man, let's go get breakfast in the morning. I'm thinking, what? What? Just confusing me, you know? And I'm thinking, what's he want? What's he going? Now, he should have fed me earlier and talked to me about this tomorrow. So go to breakfast, and what he said to me was, Terry, look, I understand what you're going through. I understand your pain. May not be the same of what I've gone through, but I get it. Pain is pain. And he began to say, look, I want to walk you through this process. He hooked me up with Chuck Youngman. He hooked me up with some other guys. And some men in this church began to pour into me and invest in somebody who most people thought was either going to wind up in jail or dead one day, especially in high school. What I love about Refuge and what I love about City on the Hill is the investment in people with not expecting anything in return. That it has to be the Holy Spirit to change people, not people to change people. And I love that. People do not change people, do they? The Holy Spirit changes people, and that's part of the process. You say, okay, Taryn, I get all that. How about you? How do you respond when failures come into your life? Students, how do you respond when you feel your self-esteem is low? How do you respond? I work with teenagers all the time, and I know, I see them. Maybe it's because of the way they grew up and how they're growing up in their families. And listen, students, I'm going to tell you, I have a heart for student ministries. Student ministry for 19 years, and I know the struggle that you guys go through, and you feel like failures of time. You're not failures. You wait till you grow up. Isn't that right, adults? And God's going to do some crazy stuff with you guys, man. And let me tell you, don't believe what the enemy tries to lie to you and tell you that you're a failure. You remember who you are in Jesus Christ. And if you have him in your life, you look at him when he comes to you and putting you down. You look at him when he comes to you in the middle of the night, when you're listening to music and all this stuff and your emotions are going, you feel discouraged. You look at him and you say, I was bought with the blood of Jesus. You can't touch this. And that's an old song, by the way, that y'all don't know nothing about. Okay, I'm just saying. Just saying. When a man is down, he is not out. Is that true? It all depends on the man, doesn't it? All depends on the man. Even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. I love that. I love it. Look at Judges chapter 16, verses 29 and 30. Then Samson reached toward the two pillars on which the temple stood, and watch this, bracing himself against them. They should have known something then. His right hand on one, his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. At that point, I would have shot him or done something. But they just sit there and watch this. Then he pushed with all his might. And down came the temple and all the rulers and all the people. And I love this part. He killed many more when he died than when he lived. God will always get the glory for your failures, whether you like it or not, or whether anybody else likes it or not. And he will use you to get his purpose accomplished. And it's always greater than what you think it is. Always. I love Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man fails seven times, he rises again. I have failed so many times in my life, and I got to keep getting up because I'm not going to let the enemy win. I've seen way too many people in my life that he's won. I'm just not going to give him an opportunity to do it. You say, Taryn, how do you do that? I put people around me that are going to get in my business. And when they see something off kilter, they know how I am. They call me on it. I told the elders of Refuge when we started, I said, listen, I don't want no mamby-pamby little wusses for elders. I did. I got a Puerto Rican dude that's about this big. He speaks Spanish. When he gets mad at you, he starts talking. I don't even know what he's saying. I have no clue. And I got a couple of guys that are just, they got so many brains, man, it just makes me hurt to think when they think. And I told them, I said, listen, I got to have some guys that are going to love Jesus and love people through the kingdom and give grace to people and call me out. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest blessings is to know that you've got a bunch of people around you that care enough to tell you the truth. Gives you freedom. So how about you? What pillars do you need to push down today? You got any pillars in your life you need to push? Maybe right now you just got your hands up on them. Maybe what you need to do is cry out to the Lord. Lord, I remember you. I remember how you've been there for me. And some of you here that may not know Jesus to say, look, God, I ain't never seen you. I don't understand you. But I tell you what, I'm going to put my hands on the pillar. I'm going to trust you. He will show you great and mighty things. Things which you cannot even understand. You just got to trust him. You say, but Taryn, I can't see him. That's the great part. Because if you saw him and he did crazy things, you still wouldn't believe it. How are you going to do it? How are you going to push down pillars? One of the things, the blessings of coming here and speaking this morning, is that I know that I'm at a place where God uses the process. The process of walking people through coming to know Christ, walking them through their hurts and pains, and setting them free. To then turn around and give back into others. I mean, you guys have so many freedom groups here, it makes my head spin. It's awesome. Right now we have marriage class for life change. We have two individual classes. We have an anger management class. I lead that. It's awesome. I got a bunch of angry people in there. We all get along. Great, fantastic. You guys here, you got life. We got life groups as well. You got ABS. What I love is to watch people's life change. I used to be the one who wanted to change people's lives. I thought that I had the power to do it. I thought my personality was going to impact people. That's one of the stupidest things. Now I look back and I'm like, how cocky was I? But boy, does that remind me of Samson. Samson did the same thing, walked around all cocky. He knew he was set apart. God was using him. Wasn't supposed to eat out of the carcass. Went ahead and did it anyway. God continued to use him, but he had the ramifications of disobedience. Does that not sound like a Christian life? Unfortunately for Samson, it took him a long time to figure it out, didn't it? Paul said, I boast in my weakness. And of all the people, if I could have done a sermon this morning on Paul, Paul was one of the most jacked up individuals in Scripture. Killing Christians. You can't tell me that killing people didn't mess him up in the head. And then it took him years to kind of separate all that. And then he goes to the disciples. If you were a disciple and he walked up to the door, what would you think? I'd be like, see you, man. Let Judas talk to him. You know? There you go, man. Good luck, man. You tell us how it goes. Samson did what was right in the end. He finally confessed. He let it out. He said, God, here I am. You got to use me somehow one last time. Many of us are so much like Samson. We are strong on the outside, but we are glaringly weak on the inside. I love that Proverbs 24:64, a righteous man fell seven times, he rises again. I want to share with you a couple of verses that you can look up on your own. They may not be on the PowerPoint, but Psalms 34:19 says this, a righteous man, that means the person that's right with God, right? Righteous man. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. A righteous man has troubles. What he's saying is there are people that love Jesus that are going to have struggles. That's good news. But, and there's a lot of big buts in Scripture. Do you know that? This is one of them right here. It says, but the Lord delivers him from all of them. That is so awesome. And if you're here this morning, you're a believer, and you say, man, I needed this. Take that one verse right there and soak in it. And breathe it in and accept that if you have Christ, you are righteous. You say, but Taryn, I sin, I go do this, I drink, I do drugs, I prostitution, whatever. You are righteous if you have Christ in your life. Amen. And you accept and receive his grace, and his grace will change you more than any man or any woman ever will. I've seen it happen. Psalms 37, 23, 24. If the Lord delights in a man's way, it's the Lord's choice, right? If the Lord delights in a man's way, it's his choice if he delights in your way. He makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fail, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. What's he saying? If he delights in you and you stumble, he's going to protect you. I like that. We still have a choice in that. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been caught cheating, shoplifting, lying, cheating, stealing, what, drugs, alcohol. You got a court case coming up. I got a guy that we're ministering to in our church right now. He goes to court this next week. For the last 2 years, he's been accused of some horrendous things. Unfairly. The evidence is going to go in his favor. He will be set free. But for 2 years, he's been away from his kids, his wife, locked up, back and forth. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Emotions. He has continued to trust the Lord. He has continued to surround himself with men who speak the truth to him. And guess what? He will survive. Him and his wife are back together now. Restoration, man. Guess what? That had nothing to do with any man. It was because when he was in jail and he was seeking God and the Holy Spirit was talking to him and he gets out and he struggles, the Lord was with him. A righteous man may have troubles, but the Lord will deliver them from them all. Time and truth go hand in hand. Y'all ever heard that before? Sometimes I get tired of hearing that. Doesn't that just stings sometimes, doesn't it? But it's the truth. In time, the truth will always come out. How many bad things can you do for God not to love you? You ever thought about that? Truth is, no one knows, because nobody's ever done so much that God can't love you. That's awesome. You say, okay, so Samson is not this hero. He's one of the most frustrating characters in Scripture that I read. You say, who is the hero? The real hero is God. Is he the hero in your life? You say, well, Taryn, I'm a failure. There's not a person in Scripture that didn't fail. There's not a person on the planet that doesn't fail. God is always the hero. Whether it's Peter, whether it's Paul, he's the hero. What will you surrender to him? 2 Timothy 2:13 says this, another great verse. Watch this. If we are faithless, some of you may be here this morning, your faith is gone. If you are faithless, God will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. If you're here this morning, you feel lonely, and you have Christ in your life, he is still with you. He's not left you. He's not forsaken you. It's you. It's your stinking thinking. It's the way that you respond to him. Change the way you respond to him. Micah 7:8, we'll close with this. Another great verse. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. When the enemy comes to you, Martin Luther said this to a congregation one time, and I said it to the youth a while ago, when the enemy comes to you, you look him square in the eye, and you say, I've been bought with the blood of Jesus, and there is nothing you can do to harm me. Samson, he fell time and time again. But in the end, God rescued him from, watch this, from his heart, from his pain. Isn't that what it's really all about? Keep coming back to the Lord. Let him heal your heart, rescue you. I hope this morning that you'll be encouraged and ask the question, how will you overcome your regret if you fall? How will you fail forward? How will you take your failures and move forward? I choose personally with Refuge Church as the leader now to say, you know what? I am so imperfect. And the way you hear me speak this morning, I'm even a little bit more brash with our folks. And you say, Taryn, man, they like that? Oh, they love it. I got a bunch of thugs up in my church, man. I love it. And you know what? We're seeing people change because of grace and not condemnation. And the last thing I want to say to you as a church body is I want to just tell you, thank you for many years of grace and mercy to people. I look out across this room and I see people I've known for many years who have struggled, gone through stuff, and all I see is grace. At the time when we go through our struggles and our failures, we sure didn't see that, did we? But in time, the truth always comes out. Fail forward and give your life to Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I come to you. I thank you so much for your grace and mercy in my life and in the lives of these folks here. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that don't know you, that they would really get the message that it is not just about failing. It's about taking our failures, man, and giving them to you and watch you doing things with them. That if we would lean to you, not in our own understanding, but in everything we do, acknowledge you, and you will direct our path, show us a way out, and show us freedom. And I thank you for doing that in my life. In your name, amen.
Man, thank you, brother. Unvarnished, unpolished, in your face, truth. That's what we need a little bit more of, amen? By the way, Taryn, I was planning on doing a series of messages this fall that I think I must have told you about, the big butts of Scripture. Somehow, where'd that come from? Because there are a lot of big butts in Scripture. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but God, there's a lot of big butts in Scripture. So we may dive into the big butts of Scripture this fall. Thank you, brother, for the truth of God. Now, and can you imagine that we get to be a part of what he's doing in San Antonio? Because I've been there. I did a workshop there. I've preached there. I've seen what God is doing. I've met the people whose lives are being transformed as he's taken everything that this church for 20-something years poured into him and Tracy, and he is duplicating that. And he is really turning the denominational leaders of that area upside down. They just don't know what to do with him. And they like it, but it scares them to death. And that's a good thing, you know, when you're shaking up the establishment, but they go, but we can't argue with the results. We see the real deal happening. Eventually, they're going to wake up and go, maybe we need to investigate a little bit this and learn about this some. Guys, I want to mention to you the Men's Crusade, May the 11th through the 13th at Glen Rose. It's not a men's retreat. It's a crusade because real men don't retreat. That's right. And we're talking about Just Do It. It's at Glen Rose. Taryn is bringing his group again from San Antonio. He brings his men up every year to be with us. First Baptist Church of, I always have a hard time, Grandview. I always want to say Bridgestone. Bridgestone, that's a golf company, right? First Baptist Church of Grandview, they bring their men. We spend Friday night and Saturday out at Glen Rose. It's going to be a great time. So sign up out there at the table. Also, the family movie night that is for our children's ministry is May the 6th at 6 p.m. It's $5 or $15. I don't know what that means. If they like you, it's $5. If they don't, it's $15. I'm not sure what that means, but that's got to be something else going on there. There will also be concessions and everything will be benefit kids camp. Love and respect. I got the information. It's not over there in that building. It's right here in A102. So if you would like to be a part, you and your spouse or even a single person would like to be a part of Love and Respect, then you can go right now or after you get some coffee at 10:45. It'll start in A102, that room right over there. God bless you. Give Taryn a hand again for delivering the word. Amen. And we finish Joshua next Sunday. God bless you. Have a great day.